Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. I'm a one-man car for now. I'm waiting for Dan Schneider. He'll be calling in right now. We have Dan on Wednesdays. Eddie's off today doing some apostolic work. My name is Jesse Romero, Jesus 911. This is, I'm your team leader today. This is where we give you Catholic briefing, Catholic intel, and we send you out to hit the streets so you can go out and evangelize, love God, and save souls, and slay error. Today we're going to talk about a book written by Father Chad Ripperger. It's called Deliverance Prayers for Use by Laity. I'm holding it up here. It's right. I'm showing you on the camera. It's a very unique book. It's one of a kind. I don't think anything like this has ever been written in the Catholic Church, this detailed about deliverance prayers for Catholic laity. Now, let me tell you, one of the problems that's happened in the last couple of years as to why, well, first of all, there's a lot more diabolical activity. That's a fact. After Vatican II, deliverance, healing and deliverance, and even the ministry of exorcism kind of fell into disuse. It fell by the wayside. But the Protestants, they, in the last 40 or 50 years, since post-Vatican II, since 1965, the Protestants have flooded the market with all kinds of books on spiritual warfare and all kinds of books on deliverance. And so well-meaning Catholics, well-intentioned Catholics, what they've been trying to do is they've been trying to play catch-up. So they've been buying all these Protestant books on deliverance ministries and deliverance prayers, and they've been using them. Here's the problem. The Protestants don't have the full understanding of the diabolical spiritual warfare, the do's and don'ts, the standard operating procedure. And so Protestant ministries or Protestant deliverance ministries are deficient in that sense. And so what I'm glad to see is that Father Ripperger came out with this book called Deliverance Prayers for the Laity. And let me go through some of it. When Dan comes here, we'll talk about it in more detail. But the name deliverance, where does it come from? It comes from the Our Father, okay? Jesus Christ is the one that says at the end of the Our Father, deliver us from evil. So that's where the word deliverance comes from. And now I got my partner, so now we're a two-man car, Dan Schneider. Dan, are you 10-8, my friend?
I'm 10-8 reporting for duty, sir.
Okay. Dan, I've got the book, Deliverance Prayers for Use by the Laity, and I'm going to want you to explain this book. It's got imprecatory prayers. It's got deprecatory prayers. In the introduction page, I love it. I think like the first four pages, it talks about the issue of authority, which is so, so important because here's where a lot of Catholics have gotten in trouble. But before we go into the book, Dan, there's a new toy out there. It's called Lego Set. It's called Nexo Knights. It's a Lego set, but it's called Nexo Knights. It's about futuristic knights, and it involves characters conjuring demons to fight different monsters. Catholics are wondering, is there any dangers with buying this book and giving this to our kids or having young people play with this Nego Knights Lego set? Again, it's a book it's a game which teaches you to conjure demons to fight monsters. These fictitious monsters, and there's families that are buying these. It's more like a Lego spell book, I think. So what would you say to Catholic families whose young people are buying these Nego Knights?
Yeah, these things need to be not brought into the home. The head of household, the father, needs to take it and get rid of it, destroy it, get them out of the house. And it isn't that – we've got to understand, too, the way the diabolic work. It's not deterministic. in the sense that if you put us in the home, everything's going to go wonky in the home. If there, it's not right to have this in your home, and if there's a vulnerability there, the demon will exploit it, if that makes sense. So everybody has their own spiritual and familial vulnerability. So if you've got this stuff, inadvertently you picked them up, get rid of them. If you've got witchcraft in the family, if you're not practicing Catholic ethics, for example, in the home, sexual ethics in the home, you know, you're going to be more vulnerable to any curses associated with this stuff. And at the same time, think of it this way. If a priest gets – this may be a crude analogy, but let's say Father is saying the prayers of consecration and he gets the giggles. Is the Eucharist still confected? Is it still a valid sacrament? Yes. If Father is texting while you're going to confession and he's listening but he's also texting, he's not quite engaged – but he gives you the words of absolution, the form and the substance and the matter are present, the elements of the sacrament are present, it's a valid sacrament. So the same thing, the demon knows this, and he also uses things like you know, these conjuring books. This one's the thanks and a gift from our friends at Disney. There's a new Disney movie or cartoon series out there on conjuring demons. If a child does this, even inadvertently, it can cause some spiritual malice to enter into the lives of the family. Yes.
So they should burn and bless this object, right? And it should be the man of the house that takes charge, right?
Right. Because when it often happens, men don't want to engage. Men have the same Adamic response as Adam. They have this response of silence. And if you go back to Genesis, and Adam was with his wife, but he was silent. And so Adam was, we had this natural tendency as men, an unnatural tendency, according to our nature, not a supernatural tendency, to not defend our homes the way we should. And so men need to step up and get rid of it, because if mom gets rid of it, it's good. It's good it's gotten rid of. But if you're a demon, the way the demon thinks, the logic is, well, the dad let me in. Mom destroyed it, but dad's head of household. And I think that's the main thing about the book, the deliverance book, is that understanding the rules of engagement. What the demon doesn't want us to know is there are rules that he must abide by. There are rules that he must live by God, by natural law and by God's law. And so part of that is the man is head of household. So, yeah, this needs to be absolutely destroyed and just got rid of it. You know, it's not a big deal. You're not freaking out. Just get rid of it. You know, I came home one year at Christmas, two different white elephants. I end up. People bring into my house, they won at the white elephant, this crystal, Himalayan salt crystal. Okay, it's no big deal. It's just a lamp, right? Well, the only people using this lamp are occultists, right? This is used to conjure, to summon spirits. And so I just looked at the winners of this and I said, get rid of them. They're not staying in this house. Oh, no, Dad. No, gone. I don't want them in the house. So I took them and destroyed them. So that stuff, men need to have a discernment of that. What we call as Catholic discernment is really sensing and knowing the clean from the unclean. There's no reason to have this stuff in our house. There's plenty of good Lego sets out there that you can play with. You don't need to be conjuring demons with them.
Dan, talk to us about the deliverance prayer book put up by Father Ripperger, Sensus Traditionis Press. Break down the different chapters. I know it got the first introduction talks to us about the issue of authority, which is important. And if you could just go ahead and give us a little overview of what he says about authority on his introduction of the book.
On authority, we distinguish between imprecatory and deprecatory prayers. The difference, the Latin "im" or "in" means on top of, and "de" means from below. So you're calling down from above or on top of preces, which is a Latin word for prayer. So you're praying by invoking. May in the name of Jesus Christ, I command, I bind, etc.
That's imprecatory.
And what's that?
That's imprecatory, what you just did.
Imprecatory. Deprecatory is may the Lord do this. Oh Lord, may you do this. So in our homes, in our families, in our own location where we are, we have imprecatory power. So I have imprecatory power to bind demons in my home by natural law. I'll give you an example. We had a case recently where they're doing some renunciations, Freemason renunciations. The woman starts choking, right? She's getting choked out by the demon. Everybody's freaking out. So I look at the husband and I say, I want you to say this prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you and I command you to leave my wife. And nothing happened. So I said, okay, try this. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of natural law, over this flesh, I command you to leave her alone. And immediately it ceased because of the language of natural law. And so what the opening of the introduction of the book is, it teaches us where are the lines of authority. Because if I'm out there binding demons in the name of Jesus Christ through imprecatory prayer outside of my authority, I've now exposed myself to retaliation. It isn't that I can't drive demons out. It just means I'm protecting myself from retaliation. And it's just as effective. So if I'm praying with somebody, I could have said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you, right? Charismatic style. But it was much more effective for the husband to learn how to do it, and so that he can go into his home and start establishing his own spiritual authority there. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And so this is why God even allowed this small little manifestation to take place, so the man would learn his own authority and his wife would learn to yield to his authority, and together they're going to drive the demons out
and
from the home.
Dan, I think this is why the demon gets a lot of men to live in a state of mortal sin. To basically to compromise that power and authority that they do have in the domestic church.
Absolutely.
We're going to continue talking about authority, imprecatory, deprecatory prayers. Jesus 911, two-man car. Stay tuned. Don't change that dial. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together, we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the Merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's Convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car. Dan, I want to just ask you a question from somebody who sent you an email, and I think this will be helpful because a lot of people have these questions, and I would like for you to give... give an answer. the lady said, "Hi, Dan. I received a call this morning from an old childhood friend. We used to be very close, especially while I was going through the abuse from my boy's dad. I don't hear much from her these days, and it started when her daughter was little. Ever since her daughter was little, my friend allowed her to control her life. She couldn't even talk on the phone to me or other friends because her daughter would get mad and throw a fit. I noticed that she was even more distant now that her daughter's older. My friend's in her mid-50s, her daughter's in her early 20s, and had a baby about a year ago. My friend raised her daughter alone. The father helped with child support, but not much else. The last time I went to her house, the smell of marijuana was obvious. She said that her daughter has a medical card and uses marijuana to help her with cyclic vomiting syndrome. I've never heard of that. I, as a mother, commented on that, and that it was not good and was a gateway drug. I thought maybe that was why she was distant from me. Well, this morning when she called me, she broke down and told me that she doesn't know what to do. She said she wants to kick her daughter out, but can't because of the baby. I asked what was going on, and she said her daughter is mean to her and filled with hate and anger towards her. She said there are times she doesn't even want to live. She said her daughter told her that she just wished she would die, and she told her daughter that she wished she would, and maybe that she should just kill her. Right. He said that her daughter gets mad because the baby chooses to go with her grandma instead of mom. She said the baby's father has moved out of town because he just can't handle her daughter and all the fighting. The writer of this letter says, I really think this girl has some demonic possession, but not total possession due to the prayers of the mother, who's my friend. My friend says that none of her family, the siblings, the aunts, the uncles, and cousins, ever want to be around her daughter, and this is causing isolation to my friend. She says she feels like a prisoner in her home, and she said that it is really strange because she has put blessed salt in her daughter's room, and her daughter has found it and questioned her and about there being salt in her room, and also about wet spots in her room from her blessing her room with holy water, obviously when the daughter's gone. She says, I don't understand what this means. She says, and there is way it can still be wet. I think that's a typo. Because she sprinkles holy water when blessing her room in the morning and at night. When she comes, she will ask why there are wet spots in her room. I believe it is her prayers and faith that have kept her daughter from total possession. I'm concerned for my friend and the baby. I told her to download the Auxilium Christianorum app and pray the prayers every day. And I told her to kneel towards her daughter's room as she prays and to offer them in Jesus' name for her daughter. And she says she prays the rosary daily. I told her to continue and also to add the Auxilium Christianorum prayers. Dan, what else can she do? What do you think?
Yeah, this is a case where it's very common. A family member recognizes the diabolic or something not right
in a family.
Right. And how do you discern that? It's very difficult. What you would need to do in this situation is you do the Auxilium Christianorum prayers. You can download them. They're in the back of this book. This is the book, Deliverance Prayers for Use by the Laity. Pray those every day. Read up on the protocol, the Liber Christo protocol, on our webpage. Do the prayers for 30 days with the intention of changing this person's heart, that they'll be open to wanting, because unless the person wants to be free, they're not going to be free. The most powerful force in the world is not necessarily the, listen to me, it's clearly, it isn't the God's will as much as man's will and his ability to bind the will of God or to not cooperate with the will of God, that God respects our free will. So by praying these prayers to loosen up, offering sacrifices, making sure before that you're in a state of grace, that your prayers are heard by God because of your own purity. Also, what's interesting too is the use of sacramentals. Sacramentals can be used as protection, right? We've got scapulars, St. Benedict medals, miraculous medal, etc. Prayers of devotion and protection, but also through a diagnostic by putting blessed salt, blessed holy water, And if somebody can tell the difference, we've done holy water tests with cases where you'll get two glasses of water, one's blessed, one's not. Can you tell the difference? If there's a demon present, the demon will – the hand – they'll be able to tell a temperature difference, a sensational difference when testing the two. So if somebody like, hey, who blessed my room with holy water and it happened 12 hours ago, if they're picking that kind of stuff up, yeah, it's a sign of something evil. Sometimes it's just – they're mean people and they need psychological help and they need conversion. It's not necessarily diabolic. So the big thing is praying for, interceding for, offering sacrifices for our loved ones that are drifting away from the church, particularly when we sense that there's something diabolic in their life.
Dan, let me ask you a question. On the Liber Christi website, do they have the protocol there? Is it up on it? Do you know if it's up on any?
I think it is.
Because as we mentioned, the protocol, people are starting to say, what is the protocol? So I guess you're looking it up right now. But can you tell the audience, what is the protocol? And why did Kyle and Father Ripperger and others, why did they come up with this to give to a person who's potentially possessed? Why was this necessary to establish this prayer protocol for the potential possessed people? I mean, in times past, don't you just bring him into a priest who knows how to pray healing and deliverance, and they just beat the demon out with prayers, without the cooperation of the possessed person? I mean, why is it so necessary to put the potentially spiritually afflicted person through this medical protocol? I mean, just can't a charismatic priest with the grace that he has of his ordination and the charismatic gifts, can't he just drive out the demon, period, and be done with it?
Yeah, several things. One, the basically the protocol prayers is the four-phase protocol. Everybody goes through the same phases. The first phase is 30 days, 30 consecutive days. You're going to pray the Exilium Christianorum prayers, which is on the webpage, and the Angelus 6, 12, and 6. 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m. And then you're going to add a couple prayers if you've been baptized and confirmed. But more or less, those are the prayers you're going to pray. You're going to restrict your spiritual diet to only reading the scripture readings for today. You're going to cut back all other devotions other than the scripture readings for the day. If you're praying the rosary in the first phase, we'll let you continue to pray the rosary. But basically, we're going to get into a spiritual central deprivation because what this does is it helps to flush out the psychological from the spiritual. So what we're finding is that was again, this is developed by Father Ripperger and Kyle Clements. It helps. The first 30 days is not curative. It's not meant to bring deliverance because the person that comes to us is just petitioning for help. They're usually not in a state of grace. They're in this mess because they've fallen away from God's grace. They've fallen into mortal sin. And so the first 30 days are diagnostic for us, and it gives us an indication if there's a psychological component, if it's a low level, we can actually chart it and tell you more or less where they're at. If it's oppression, obsession, possible possession, it'll smoke out any extraordinary diabolic activity. It'll also smoke out if it's psychological. Before we developed the protocol, we worked different protocols. And what we would find is we're chasing our tail. The demon would just send psychological cases, and we would be spending hours and hours every week praying for cases that are just bipolar. They're just have mental health problems. And we would deplete all of our resources, all of our energies, of our priestly time, et cetera. So what this does, it gives us this diagnostic reading, but at the same time, it begins to strengthen the will. This is like that TV show, My 600-Pound Life, right? If you watch that show, they don't just say, oh, you want to lose 300 pounds? No problem. Let's do surgery. Because why? If you just take that 600-pound person and do surgery, they've yet to form the habits, right? Dietary habits, exercise habits, and their body could not sustain physically. You run the risk of harming them worse, and they might die from the surgery because they're just not physically healthy enough. So by making them lose and get under a certain weight, their bodies are now strong enough and they develop the habits to sustain healthy living. That principle in nature, we know it to be true, is also true in the spiritual life. We've got to get souls in the spiritual state of grace. We got to get them spiritually lean and in shape, meant to judge. 30 days is not meant to judge. Christ's words himself. The demon leaves, he comes back sevenfold when he finds the house swept clean, because the soul is not ready to keep the doors locked. He lets them back in, and their condition is worse than the first. So Dad, what we see is a growth.
I like what you said. You said the first 30 days are curative.
They're diagnostic, not necessarily curative.
Okay, diagnostic. Oh, yeah. Right. Or the first 30 days are not curative. They're diagnostic. They're not curative.
And this is why we refer to the individual as a petitioner. Once they roll and they completed the 30 days, they've proven that their will is strong enough at least to be disciplined. And we do find many liberations are happening just by doing a 30-day protocol. If it's an oppression-level spirit or situation, it'll clear out if the soul is in a state of grace. But when they go into phase two, this is when we use the freedom through Christ, which is a Catholic liberation approach. And we have videos of Father Ripperture and Kyle, a workbook that they work through, and they start to identify areas in their life that grace is being occluded, where there's blockages or obituaries to grace. Where is their unconfessed mortal sin? People come in and they say, oh, I want a pill. I want to see the exorcist. I want to be free because I want to sleep. I'm tired of hearing the voices, etc. It doesn't work that way. It takes a long time of conversion. If you've got unconfessed mortal sin and you're completely unrepentant in it, God's not going to deliver you. You have to do your part and grow. Ultimately, Father Gabriel Amorth says, the chief exorcist of the Diocese of Rome who passed away last year, all exorcism, he says, ultimately is self-deliverance. And so at times the church will step in through the parish priest or through the exorcist, but mostly self-delivering, starting in phase two through the sacrament of confession. And now in phase two, we're starting to reintegrate the soul, not just away. Remember, freedom is freedom from the diabolic sin, but freedom for reintegration into the mystical body. So in phase two, I'm now contacting and staying in contact with their pastor. Father, this is what's going on. We're going to be sending them to you for confession. This is what we're seeing, etc. So phase two now, they're working at reintegrating sacramentally. Because remember, our definition of liberation is it's reconciliation with God the Father through Christ and through the sacraments of the church. So this is what we're doing and working in phase two.
All right. We'll continue talking about liberation Catholic style.
This is Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. This March, VMPR, in association with the Catholic Resource Center, will be hosting a special conference for the Adoremus Society. Adoremus at the Triduum, a conference on the spirituality of the Triduum liturgies, featuring speakers Father Joseph Fessio, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and Christopher Carstens, addressing such topics as developing a liturgical spirituality, the spirituality of Holy Thursday, the spirituality of Good Friday, and the spirituality of the Paschal Vigil and Easter season. It all takes place March 14th, 2020, at the historic Sacred Heart Chapel at 381 West Center Street, Covina, California, 91723. You can register online at vmpr.org or call now at 877-526-2151 to reserve your seat today. For Adoremus at the Triduum.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio, and it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Our Soul Patrol, helping people love God, save souls, and slay error. We're talking about the book, Deliverance Prayers for Use by the Lady, by Father Chad Ripperger. Dan, can you give a side-by-side comparison between what's taught at Liber Christi to lay people? You and Kyle teach lay people on the proper procedures of praying over or praying for people versus the unbound protocol, the unbound model that many people are very familiar with. What juxtaposing both methods side by side, what would you say are the strengths or differences and similarities?
I think Unbound has some good elements. It's been out there for a long, long time. I think the difference is the modeling. A monastic model, Freedom Through Christ is a monastic model versus a charismatic model. And there's I would say some of the prayers are overlapping. Some of the prayers in Unbound are similar, but it comes back to going back to authority. And I think three particular areas that I personally like Freedom Through Christ. One, Unbound tends to have, well, you got to understand this, where they're coming from. It's a non-denominational, or it's not Catholic. So it's open to Catholic, but it's also open to people of other Christian faiths. So it's going to have a heavy emphasis, for example, on the name of Jesus, but or on the Holy Spirit. But it's going to have a low sacramentology, meaning no emphasis of the sacraments. Whereas Freedom Through Christ, we have a heavy emphasis of the sacraments. Quite honestly, we're finding what Freedom Through Christ does is lead people through self. Most cases can self liberate through the sacraments. That's what they're designed to do. We're just trying to get the soul. That's why we changed the nomenclature. You come to us, you're a petitioner. Once you enter phase two, you're a penitent. And so oftentimes it's the penitent through the sacrament of confession that's finding liberation. We've had people with mid-level obsessions being delivered just through the ordinary means of sanctification, which is the sacrament of confession, which draws out the graces of baptism. So one, we have a much higher sacramental element. The second is ecclesiology. Unbound has a lower ecclesiology because your Christian baptism, your association with the invisible church, these are Protestant elements that are lacking in a Catholic understanding of the church. And so we have a higher understanding of the authority of the priesthood, right, as opposed to gift. The monastic model is based on order and discipline versus the charismatic model is based on charism or gift. And so lay people like myself and others that work on deliverance and exorcism teams, we utilize the natural supernatural gifts that come to us through our own baptismal or in confirmation orientation to God, but all things work together subordinate to the priest to the parish priest to the exorcist to the bishop, where all authority comes in. Hold a picture up of the local bishop. We would hold sometimes take the picture out of the church and hold it up in front of a possessed person and watch them at the demon go absolutely ballistic. And we say, look, the priest will say, you must meditate upon the prince of a prince of the apostles, a prince of Christ here on earth, who has authority over you and all things spiritual in this diocese, and watch a manifestation occur just by viewing the local bishop. When you see that, that element, the high ecclesiology, a great understanding of the authority of the priesthood, is another element that we differ from other models, including Unbound. And then finally, a minimalist or a non-existent Mariology understanding of the Virgin Mary versus an unbound in other models, again, because they're not Catholic or they're trying to cast a bigger net. Our model, Freedom Through Christ, has a very high emphasis on the Blessed Mother. She's Queen of Angels. She's Queen of Apostles. We understand that as Catholics, that the Virgin Mary is part of the ordinary path of salvation. The Virgin Mary, the merits, the treasury of merit, the treasurer of merits, her merits surpass the merits of all the saints in the mystical body combined. We cannot fathom the depth of her power as Mother of God, Theotokos, Genesis 3:15. She is present at every single diabolic extraction. She's present. And so as Catholics, our emphasis on the Virgin Mary and Freedom Through Christ is extremely important, including not just her, but in her train, the Litany of Saints, bringing in the liturgical calendar, bringing in the saints of the day, bringing in the Litany of Saints as also bearing down. Every demon that's out there militating against a soul has an antithesis in the mystical body. Our job as lay people is to find that antithesis and get the soul to develop devotion. So those are three areas in a nutshell that we would say we differ. So the Freedom Through Christ is the Catholic model of liberation. And then the deliverance prayers for use by the laity, here's a clean version. This is the worn out version. This book is for all lay people to use and safely utilize. So what I tell people is after 30 days, I'm going to take you down to the gun range. I'm going to show you how to work this weapon, which is deliverance prayer, spiritual warfare. I'm going to show you safe weapon handling. I'm going to show you how to shoot your target and not just fight like you see on the news sometimes where they take an AK-47 and just spray bullets around the wall. We're going to show you through this book, you can learn how to pop and shoot and target the evil one that's afflicting you and your family and how you can knock him down and get liberation in your home. That's what the deliverance prayer book is very effective to do. So we'll use it in conjunction with Freedom Through Christ.
So there's two types of prayers in the book, as you explained, imprecatory prayers, deprecatory prayers. And there's also the introduction page talks about the issue of authority. And towards the back of the book, it also has some renunciation prayers for I like this section, Dan, the section where it talks about appendix, list of sins, vices, or spirits.
Yeah.
It's several pages long. Okay. It's about probably 8 pages long. So here's my question on this appendix. List of sins, vices, or spirits. Like you'll have, for example, it'll say on the first page 101, lying spirits, colon, then it'll say pretension, unreality, denial, delusion, labyrinth, convoluted thinking, cheating, neglect of responsibilities, irreverence. So here's my question. Is the actual fallen spirit or the demon, is the demon called the demon of a lying spirit? And everything after the colon, pretension, unreality, are those the characteristics, or are those other demons as well? A demon of unreality, demon of denial, demon of delusion.
Right. I picture it like a paint wheel. You know, you go to the paint store and they give you this little booklet and you spread it open, right? And it's got, you're in the blues, and it's within the blue, you've got multiple sheets of blue, dark to light, multiple sheets. And this is how the angels, the fallen angels work. It's similar to that. So they loosely associate with each other. And so these, to answer your question, yes, you have a principal spirit, but then you got lesser spirits that are militating. So the easiest way to say is any spirit of rebellion that's afflicting me or my family, or any spirit of Jezebel, or any spirit of lust, including this disorder, the more precise you can name it, the more effectively you can get rid of it. This is the predator. If it bleeds, we can kill it, right? You got to get it to bleed to see. You got to find out where he's at, where he's working in your family, and then you can go to work. And so there's prayers, for example, on prayers for occult or cardinal spirits. There's prayers to remove generational spirits. As you go through that back chapter that you mentioned, and you start picking up certain spirits that, oh man, I'm seeing this one. I'm seeing this real lying spirit. I'm sensing, picking up this rebellious spirit. This is why in the book it says, it's highly recommended that you pray to Our Lady of Sorrows, because Our Lady of Sorrows, who was prophesied, right, by Simeon, your heart were pierced. Her heart was pierced as co-redemptrix at the foot of the cross of Christ. And she has special insights, can help lead us in our friend to see this is what's come into our home. And then you can go after it. All you spirits just named and your companion spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ, by his precious blood, I bind you. If you're the head of household in a state of grace, you can pray that prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, this is one, removing generational spirits.
What page is
start
that?
To
what
militate
page?
Against these things. Start to call them out.
What page is that?
Pages 26 and 27.
Okay.
Here's another one, severing bonds, ties, bonds, and attachments, page 28. With the sword of St. Michael and the sword of Our Lady and the sword of our Lord's cross, I sever and break any all ties, bonds, and attachments. You have to. And if you've got a child that's struggling, insert the child's name, right? And you go and you start going down. This is like playing whack-a-mole at the mall, you know, at the video game. You're just going to play whack-a-mole. And as these things, as they show up in your home, they show their presence, whatever the spirit is, you just start going after it. But this gives you a discernment of what's going on, and it helps you. And Our Lady will walk you through on which spirits to start coming after.
That section where it says, again, the appendix one, page 101, list of sins, vices, or spirits. These are all, right in the footnote, it says, when reading the entries from this list, it should be borne in mind that since so many demons identify with the vice or attitude they seek to foment, demons answer to these names.
Yeah.
So apparently
by calling
these
the
are,
name, yeah. this is a principle based on our Lord himself, who when he exorcised the Gerasene demoniac. What is your name? We hear it in the it's a powerful, powerful experience to hear a priest say directly to the demon, according to the rite of exorcism, Dicas mihi nomen tuum. Tell me your name. That's right out of the rite of exorcism. It's powerful. You feel the weight of the priest, of the living God, fall upon the diabolic force, and you see the trembling in the eyes of the demon that's manifesting in the body of the person. Tell me your name. So Jesus taught us this. And so by calling the name out of this vice or this spirit, it helps to neutralize it. It helps to neutralize it. And then the most important thing too is now we have to start develop the corresponding virtue. So if you're calling out the spirit of lust, you can neutralize it, but now you have to start developing in your soul and those who come to us for help, develop, you know, continence, self-control, etc.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
All right, stick around. You don't want to miss what's up.
This is Terry Barber, and Myra Brown is with me. Myra, welcome.
Hi, Terry. I am so happy to be here with you today because I am up to something that I think you'll find very interesting.
Tell me, what is it, Myra?
Well, I want to give away a DVD, your famous 3-hour talk about how to share your faith with everyone. And do you know how I'm going to do it?
Tell me.
Well, me and my friend Annie Jo are calling everybody to talk about monthly donations, because that is how we keep this station alive.
Absolutely.
And so every person that answers either our email or answers our phone call will get that talk.
And they can get it by calling 877-526-2151. And just tell us how you heard about it, because I really am excited about Myra's project, because we want to have Virgin Most Powerful in every state in the union.
Yep, and we're going to do it with your help. So answer the phone call, answer that email, and I look forward to getting your prayer intention then.
God love you.
Jesus said in Matthew 26, "Stay awake and pray that you may not enter into temptation." According to St. Ephrem, Jesus, who feared nothing, experienced fear and asked to be freed from death, although he knew it was impossible. How much more must we persevere in prayer before temptation assails us, so that we may be freed when the test has come? May God grant that we may withstand temptation and carry out His will in all things.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
And Kyle, about this book, Deliverance Prayers for Use by the Laity. Dan, when you're looking at these prayers, what would you recommend for a layperson, head of the household? Which ones are the ones that you would say would be the best prayers to be praying, maybe daily, if not weekly, over your house, over your family? As the head of the house, go through some of the prayers that you would think would be the most appropriate for dad to pray in his devotional time over the family, over the house.
Okay. First of all, the presumption is you're in a state of grace. Because I tell people this is like a Glock, right? It's a hammer fire weapon that's always loaded. There is no safety, right? Or the Claymore mine, front towards enemy. So if you're not careful, if you're not in a state of grace and you're doing these prayers, they're going to retaliate against you. There's very basic prayers at the very beginning, prayers of authority, page 15. Again, it's deprecatory. Lord Jesus Christ, in thy name, I ask thee to bind and silence all powers and forces, do not accept thee as Lord and King in the air, the water, etc. So you're establishing spiritual authority. If you're a teacher and you're having problems in your classroom, you have spiritual authority over your students and over yourself. So in your classroom, you can pray this prayer. And it's still deprecatory, so you're safe. So you're asking for protection. There's prayers against retaliation. So whenever we do a session with people we're phase one or phase two, I open up with this prayer of protection and I close a prayer against retaliation.
What Just page is that?
Page 39.
Okay.
Prayer against retaliation. There's another more powerful prayer, a perimeter prayer, page 38, 39. Lord Jesus Christ, in thy love and mercy, establish a perimeter protection around and name your children and your wife and all of our loved ones, those who pray for us, etc. I ask that no demonic bondage, door, portion, demonic entity, portal, astral projection, or disembodied spirit enter the space of 100 yards, etc. That's another good spiritual protection prayer. Page 30, prayer of deliverance. You're going through that back section and you realize, man, I've got a real spirit of rebellion. I've got a real spirit of this or that vice afflicting my family. It's also the Thursday Auxilium prayers, a prayer of deliverance. Almighty God and Father, I beg you through the intercession and the help of the archangels, Saints Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, for deliverance. Insert my family who are vexated or enslaved by the evil one. All saints of heaven come to our aid. From anxiety, sadness, and obsessions, we implore thee. But you can also insert your own from the spirit of rebellion. O Lord, deliver us. From the spirit of detraction, O Lord, deliver us. From anything militating against the truth, O Lord, deliver us. From any spirit of anger, you know, anything that's afflicting you and your family, insert it right there. You're still doing deprecatory. It's still very effective. You don't have to go out there and get a battle axe and slay demons. You're very effectively asking the Lord to purify it while all the while you're working to develop the corresponding virtue and growing in holiness. Ultimately, liberation is freedom from, but also freedom for union with Christ. We believe that union with Christ as Catholics comes through the sacraments of the church. So you're developing, you're growing in your sacramental life. You're going to confession every week, right? When I'm weakly, then I'm strong. I've heard Scott Hahn say. That's a great phrase. When you can go every week, you're going to find yourself spiritually strong. Now, in the back, page 44, there's a prayer of consecration of your exterior good. So oftentimes the demon has access to this commonality of earth, right? You are mud, and mud you shall return, right? You on mud you shall crawl, mud you shall eat, dirt. This commonality of the things of this world. So by doing a con, if you're getting hit and it's constantly harassing things at work, things at home, the water in your home, the toilets, consecrate temporal goods to the Virgin Mary, even daily. I think, you know, see if I've got my De Montfort, but St. Louis de Montfort, all Catholics should consecrate to St. Louis de Montfort prayer. Full total Marian consecration if you want to truly do battle against Satan. But this is a smaller one to consecrate your temporal goods, because now we're releasing our temporal
goods. What page was that, Dan?
Page 44.
Okay.
I'm using a slightly different version. I've got an older version. So my page.
What's that prayer called?
Consecration of one's exterior goods to the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got it there.
Page previous to that is prayer against oppression for those who have consecrated their exterior goods. So the logic that when Father set this up,
are they imprecatory prayers or are those deprecatory prayers?
These here, they're neither. You're consecrating, you're delivering your temporal goods to the Virgin Mary. You insert anything that the demon is afflicting. If he's afflicting your radio program, you insert that. My work in the apostolate, my job, you know, anything that you're doing in the apostolate, in your home, your vocation, you consecrate it. When you get hit, then you pray this prayer of against oppression for those who have consecrated the exterior goods. You say, look, this good that the demon is afflicting has been consecrated and given to the Holy Virgin Mary. And you're announcing through this prayer against oppression, you're announcing to anybody and any entity that is afflicting this temporal good, you're not messing with me, you're messing with her, okay? So back off. And you're invoking and growing in your trust of entrusting of all things material into her maternal care and growing. Again, the more we can grow in detachment, the less the demon can really touch. But this is a very, very powerful prayer. Consecrate your temporal goods and then pray a prayer against oppression, because those goods now belong to the Holy Virgin Mary. That's another very effective prayer.
Was page 43 and 44.
Right. And then in the back, in the second half, there's prayers of devotion. So there's prayers of healing. Page 85, I think, prayer for inner healing.
Yes.
Okay. There's two of them. So when we pray in total panic for our children, for our spouse, for, you know, you've got a child that's wandered from the church, you've got a spouse that doesn't go to mass or confession, you've got somebody in your family was wounded, they were sexually molested, and they're living in under the pall of this darkness, right? And they're just not coming back to God. And we go to God and we go, ah, and we have all this emotionality, all this garbage, all this nonsense coming out, emotions. Those are not effective prayers. In fact, they become counterproductive. God hears those prayers. It's kind of like the analogy is we out in the desert sometimes we'll hunt coyotes. You cry out like that, God hears you, but this calls in the coyotes. It draws in the demon because he picks up on your weakness. He picks up on your desperation. So this will teach you how to pray for our children, pray for our parents, pray for our loved ones. And you're entrusting. So this prayer for inner healing. Heavenly Father, we ask thy love flow upon your servant. Put their name. May the blood of Christ cover all their wounds and restore all of them to wholeness in life. May the fire from Our Lady's heart now enter thy servant and anoint all with the Holy Spirit and blind Satan. So now you're projecting love. You're projecting the blood of Christ. You're projecting the love of the Holy Virgin Mary. You're entrusting in filial faith to the Theotokos, all of our children, all of our problems, all of this person, our parent, our father who's on his deathbed and he's not converting, and this priest who's struggling. You're entrusting all these things, but you're not saying, God, do it this way. Fix this. Right? Because God doesn't negotiate with terrorists. You know what I mean? And we're terrorists the way we pray to God. Our Father, Hail Mary, gimme, gimme, gimme. We pray like three-year-olds. We really do. This is learning how to pray and project back into the spiritual realm the healing power of Christ upon our loved ones who are straying. So that's a very, very effective prayer. Another one, page 30, prayer for troubled souls. Another very effective prayer. Lord have mercy, Almighty God, Lord of King, thou who in Babylon changed into dew the flames of the seven times hotter furnace, protect and save the three holy children, right? You're invoking the language of Scripture. You're making present Christ who is present among the fires with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You're making Christ present in the fire of our tribulation, and you're projecting Christ and his healing into whatever situation that you're dealing with. This is how we pray. This is spiritual warfare prayer. This is counter battery, like the artillery. We're sending back to the enemy prayers of love, prayers of protection, prayers of entrustment. And this is very much more effective prayer than saying, God, these are the three things you need to do today to make my life less harmful, or less suffering, and make it less miserable than it is. And trusting, growing in holiness, and in praying these prayers and projecting them out of faith and love is much more effective than coming up with the exact perfect thing to say.
Dan, I recommend that everybody gets this book, Deliverance Prayers for the Lady. I'm holding it up right here. And it's a thin book too. It's not thick, and it just the meat and potatoes deliverance prayers that every one of us as Catholics need to put in our war bag and to hit the streets and go out and evangelize and help people love God, save souls, and slay error.
Yeah, one on page 40, breaking the spirit of death. Very powerful. If you've had death in your family somehow, you know, you've had sexual abuse, there's been abortion, there's been, bad stuff that's passing down through the generational line. This is a very powerful prayer against the spirit of death.
Dad, let me ask you one more question before we only got about 2 minutes.
Okay.
If somebody has somebody in the family that's potentially spiritually afflicted, how does it help, like if mom starts doing the protocol, the Liber Christo protocol, hardcore prayer, how does it help the daughter?
If she's what not it doing does, the protocol. Because especially when it's familial, when a father and a mother begin to pray for even the adult child, grace flows through the familial construct, beginning with the father as head of household. So if we can unkink the hose and get grace flowing from dad and mom to the even adult child that's straying, this is the way God has ordered grace to come. But what the demon's going to project is every time you think of your daughter, you're going to get a projection of an image of her tattoo, of her hanging out with some biker, having sex, or whatever. You know what I mean? He's going to project his negative stuff, and he's going to mitigate and neutralize your prayer. So by father and mother praying the auxilium prayers or the protocol prayers with the intention of grace flowing such that the child will have a conversion, it's very effective. It's very effective. And it may not happen immediately. This person might have taken 30, 40 years of their life to get this far away from God. It's going to take time to bring them back. But parents must not give up. Parents must stay in the fight. You stay in the fight, and grace will flow, father, mother to the children. If there's no father involved, and that's very common, the church fills the gap. The priestly presence, the sacerdotal presence is very important in the life of a divorced woman or a single mom. Let your parish priest fill that gap of authority that's missing. Very, very effective.
Dan, thanks a lot. That's a wrap. Jesus 911, we've been talking about deliverance prayers for use by the lady by Father Chad Ripperger, and that's another great program in the can. Thanks a lot, Dan. We'll see you next time. Be safe out there. All right. 10-7 out.
10-7
up
out.
Next, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics in the dojo. Up next, you don't want to miss Gary Machuda, master apologist. We'll see you next time, same Christ time, same Christ channel. God bless you. Keep your faith.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.